This podcast is made possible by thousands of dedicated listeners just like you. Be a part of this powerful three-decade legacy of evangelization by visiting materdeiradio.com or downloading the Hail Mary media app. And thank you for joining us on the bridge between your faith and everyday life.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 4, verse 12, it says, "Indeed, the word of God is living and effective, sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating even between soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and able to discern reflections and thoughts of the heart." Yes, the word of God is living and effective today in my life and in yours. And that's the very reason why I'm offering this weekly podcast where I reflect upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. So now, please join me on Faith Moments with Dina Marie as we break open the Word of God together, inviting His Word to change our lives forever. Greetings and welcome to Faith Moments, a weekly podcast where we proclaim and ponder the Sunday Mass readings. We are entering the 15th week in Ordinary Time, so this is the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time on July 13th. And if you have maybe just joined us for the first podcast, it's great to have you here. You can be listening to this weekly podcast on the Hail Mary media app. You can also catch it on this YouTube channel. And I would invite you to subscribe and to share this with others as we continue to reflect on the Word of God and really invite the Word of God to nourish us, to guide us, to move us closer to the heart of God. And I want to begin with this scripture reading as we hear the readings for today's Sunday Mass. This reading from Deuteronomy is really core, it's really pivotal, and it's referred to as the Shema, or Hear, O Israel. And I think if we keep this reading in mind as we listen to the readings for today, it gives us a sense of where God is directing us, where God is guiding us. In fact, the theme for today's podcast is the heart of love, the heart of love. So listen to this scripture. It's from Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 through 9. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Therefore, you shall love the Lord, your God, with all your heart and with all your soul, and with all your strength. Take to heart these words which I enjoin on you today. Drill them into your children. Speak of them at home and abroad, whether you are busy or at rest. Bind them at your wrist as a sign, and let them be as a pendant on your forehead. Write them on the doorposts of your houses and on your gates." The word of the Lord. Again, keep those words in mind as you hear today's readings. And we'll open today with the collect prayer for the 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. Let us pray. O God, who show the light of your truth to those who go astray, so that they may return to the right path, give all who for the faith they profess are accounted Christians the grace to reject whatever is contrary to the name of Christ and to strive after all that does it honor. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. And when I hear these collect prayers, sometimes they are so powerful, and I just want to say, wait, Father, can you preach on this for a few minutes? Because these collect prayers sometimes, you know, again, they help to get us focused, and we're calling out to God. We're giving a little bit of a description of who God is and who we are in relationship to our God, and we're asking for something particular. And many times this relates directly to the readings. It might relate directly to the feast day that we're celebrating. But listen to this, that God, we're asking for the God, O God, who shows the light of his truth
to those who go astray. Have you ever gone astray? Oh boy, raising my hand big, I have gone astray. But God provides light. He provides truth. What do we see that in? The Holy Spirit. And why does God provide this light and truth? So that we would return. Return, O Israel. We return to the right path. So God knows that we're going to go astray, and yet he's always constantly providing what's needed to redirect us. If you're watching this on the podcast on YouTube, you see behind me two paths. This is a photo that I took at the grotto, the national sanctuary of Our Sorrowful Mother. We have to choose on our route in life. Do I go this way? Do I go that way? Which path do I choose? And we're praying that we return to the right path for those who have professed the faith of Christianity, and that we receive that grace, that courage, that ability to reject that which is going to lead us down the wrong path. See, if we're going to return to the right path, that must mean that we have gone astray. That must mean that we're somehow have veered off. Maybe we've gone over. Have you ever been on a walking path and you go, oh, I'm going to go off the path and see what's over here, because there's some cool trees or some flowers, or, you know, and usually there's a sign, you know, stay on the path. You know, it's mainly for your safety, because there could be difficulties. Maybe there's poison oak and you don't know it, but you're walking off the path. But we're asking for the grace, and we really need to do this every day, to reject whatever is contrary to Christ and to strive for what honors Christ, to strive to be in the environment that honors Christ. Is your working environment, is your political environment honoring Christ? Is your family environment? Where are you, and how is that place, that experience, honoring or rejecting Christ? Boy, some things for us to reflect on this 15th Sunday in Ordinary Time. So let's go into the readings now for today's Holy Mass. A reading from the book of Deuteronomy. Moses said to the people, if only you would heed the voice of the Lord, your God, and keep his commandments and statutes that are written in this book of the law, when you return to the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul. For this command I enjoin on you today is not too mysterious and remote for you. It is not up in the sky that you should say, who will go up in the sky to get it for us and tell us of it, that we may carry it out? Nor is it across the sea that you should say, who will cross the sea to get it for us and to tell us of it, that we may carry it out? No, it is something very near to you, already in your mouths and in your hearts. You have only to carry it out. The word of the Lord. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I pray to you, O Lord, for the time of your favor, O God. In your great kindness, answer me with your constant help. Answer me, O Lord, for bounteous is your kindness. In your great mercy, turn toward me. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. I am afflicted and in pain. Let your saving help, O God, protect me. I will praise the name of God in song, and I will glorify him with thanksgiving. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. See, you lowly ones, and be glad. You who seek God, may your hearts revive. For the Lord hears the poor, and his own who are in bonds he spurs not. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. For God will save Zion and rebuild the cities of Judah. The descendants of his servants shall inherit it, and those who love his name shall inhabit it. Turn to the Lord in your need, and you will live. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him were created all things in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, and in all things he himself might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile all things for him, making peace by the blood of his cross through him, whether those on earth or those in heaven. The word of the Lord. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. There was a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus. "Teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" He said in reply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your being, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." He replied to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But because he wished to justify himself, he said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" Jesus replied, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. They stripped and beat him and went off, leaving him half dead. A priest happened to be going down that road, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. Likewise, a Levite came to the place, but when he saw him, he passed by on the opposite side. But a Samaritan traveler who came upon him was moved with compassion at the sight. He approached the victim, poured oil and wine over his wounds, and bandaged them. Then he lifted him up on his own animal, took him to an inn, and cared for him. The next day, he took out 2 silver coins and gave them to the innkeeper with the instruction, 'Take care of him. If you spend more than what I have given you, I shall repay you on my way back.' Which of these three, in your opinion, was neighbor to the robber victim?" He answered, "The one who treated him with mercy." Jesus said to him, "Go and do likewise." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. This gospel reading we hear so often, even just we say in common discussion when we're talking about care for the poor or the disadvantaged, the Good Samaritan. You know, this is known as the Good Samaritan story. And Christians from all walks of life will talk about the Good Samaritan. Samaritan's Purse. There's a lot of ministries that are tied to this story. But I want to just quickly go back to that reading from Deuteronomy. And I went back to several chapters of Deuteronomy as I was looking at these readings and just reflecting on the message that Moses, you know, he's the mouthpiece of God. He's hearing God. He's in between God and the people, and the people are fickle. You know, they'll say, "We want to follow God," and all of a sudden they want to follow other gods. They want to do other things that are not under God's law. And so they come back and forth to serving the Lord and defying the Lord. And you know, poor Moses is trying to lead the people. And we heard this reading from Deuteronomy early on of how, you know, God is trying to unfold little by little. You know, it's like you're weaning your children. You can't feed, you know, a baby a steak. You know, you've got to go in small bites until they're old enough and able to eat the larger foods. But you start small, and God started small to unpack, to unravel, to give us, to nourish us with who he is and how we love him and serve him, and how much love he has for us. And in this Shema, you know, hear, O Israel, that you shall love the Lord your God. And that we should have this, it says, take to heart these words that Moses is sharing with the people and drill them into your children. You know, this should be the daily mantra. This should be the daily repetition of how we live our lives. And we speak about it all of the time. You know, I hear this, speak of them at home and abroad. Some of you might be traveling, maybe not necessarily abroad, but you might be traveling outside of your hometown on a vacation. Since it's the summer season, we don't take a vacation from God. We've heard that from Pope Francis. We've heard that from Pope Leo. You continue to worship wherever you go, whether you're taking a weekend off. We're planning a large, for us, it's a large, about a 14, 20 day trip. And so along the days that we're going to be gone, I'm looking at, okay, what are the Catholic churches that are around us? In fact, are there any shrines or basilicas or cathedrals, which there are in some of the places? I'm going to go and make sure I spend time in thanksgiving with God. So speak of what you believe of God, no matter where you are. And whether you're busy or at rest, we continue to keep focused on who we are and whose we are. And we share that with our generations, the generations to come after us. And we bind those commandments, the love of God, on us, on our forehead, and write them on the doorposts of your houses, on your gates. You know, surround yourself with God's love and God's law, the heart of love. And it's, I guess, a good time for us to think about, am I doing that in my daily life? What is surrounding me? What kind of media, what kind of environment? If I look around my home, and sometimes I've been in homes, beautiful homes, well decorated, well, you know, just beautiful things. And then I pause and I think, am I thinking of God? Do I see something of my faith as I'm looking at this, you know, beautiful setting? And sometimes the answer is yes, and sometimes the answer is no, it's a beautiful home, but I don't see evidence that you love the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean you have to live in a shrine that, you know, every corner, although a lot of my corners have images of Jesus and Mary, you know, and I make sure that I put a crucifix in every room. You know, I want there to be, if I was in a room and something happened to me, I want to be able to look at that crucifix and just to remind those who are in my home that the Lord is the Lord of my heart. So let's just go to this gospel reading of Luke. So familiar. And many times these familiar gospels, we just kind of say, oh yeah, that was the Good Samaritan. This is very challenging. It's very challenging to me because in our time and day, at least here in the United States, even if you live in a small town, I came from Portland, Oregon, which is a bigger city where there is much homelessness and mental illness that's very visible all over the place. And even in the smaller community I live in today, it's very visible. People like this man who is left for dead on the street? And do we walk past? And I want to just reflect a little bit on, because I want to just look at what this Samaritan did and this idea of being interrupted in your day, this idea of it's easy to love people who are lovable. You know, it is, isn't it? You think about those people that you really like, that are good friends, that you're the family that you like, you love. It's easy to give them a present. It's easy to spend time to go to a party or what have you with those people. But think about those people who irritate you. I'm sure there's at least one person that comes to mind that you work with, that is in your parish, that is in your neighborhood, that you'd like, oh, if I go for a walk, I really don't want to see that person because they always do blah, blah, blah. And it irritates me. Whatever it is. But this Samaritan traveler, I'm sure had an itinerary. They're on business. I'm going to go visit and conduct business. He obviously had supplies with him that he had some sort of agenda for his plan for the day. And all of a sudden, his plan, he had to make a choice, just like this path behind me. Side A or side B? Well, now all of a sudden, my plan, there's a potential that I'm going to be interrupted. And now I'm going to put my needs, my wants, what is on my list and the docket for the day. I need to put that aside because there's a greater need in front of me. I mean, look at this person. And he stops. First of all, he stopped. The other two individuals didn't stop. They looked away. Now, there were laws, and we're not going to get into all the different 600 plus laws that prevented them from showing compassion on this man. And they looked to the law, and the law told them to go on that path. Avoid this because this is going to contaminate you. So keep going and don't look at it. And those two men followed the law. Not the heart of love. They looked at the heart of the law. And they followed it without looking at what was in front of them. Who was in front of them? Whose was in front of them? One of God's children. But this Samaritan took the time to stop, to get off his animal, and to start to assess the situation, you know, what's going on here with this man? And all of a sudden, everything about what was important to this man, the Good Samaritan, became, I got to put that aside. Now I'm going to look at this need. So my resources, my time has now been shifted to something God has put in front of me to respond to. And it could be a little interruption of a phone call. It could be a little interruption of a text. It could be a knock on the door. It could be somebody at the grocery store. It may not be as vivid as a man who's just been stripped and beaten and robbed and lying on the floor. This is a story that Jesus is getting us to think about in your life, as you walk through your day. There are things that will come onto your path that you weren't planning on. And are you just going to keep going on your way with your needs and your wants and your plan? Or will you be open to listen? To listen to the invitation I have for you to be me. In this case, to be compassion, to be love, to be mercy when there's a need for mercy and love and compassion. See, that's the Good Samaritan. Everyone is our neighbor. I mean, one of the points that Jesus is making to the man, because there were differentiations in the law of who a neighbor was and who a neighbor wasn't. And Jesus is saying, nope. It's everyone. Each and every person, you show mercy. They don't earn mercy. Their dignity in their humanity demands mercy. And so Jesus is telling this lawyer who wants to prove something, he's not going into the heart of love. He's not going into the heart behind why we have laws. It's for salvation of souls. And so now here's the Samaritan who's looking at this man as a soul to be saved. You know, and what does he do? He addresses the man's wounds. Immediately he starts taking out what oil and wine and starts dressing the wounds, you know, applying care for what is needed right now. And then he actually takes that man and takes him to an inn to be further cared for and uses his own resources, spends of his own time and resources. And then he involves other people because now there's this innkeeper involved. You know, I've taken this man to this innkeeper. Now the innkeeper is part of my plan of living out mercy. Sometimes we need to work together to bring love and mercy to one another. And it involves other people. It involves a community. And the Good Samaritan was willing to put whatever important business of the day was on his docket aside. And look at the priority that was in front of him, a human soul that needs to be saved, that needs to be cared for, that needs mercy. And Jesus is saying to go and do likewise, to treat the other with mercy, to don't look past them, but to walk with them and to walk down the path that leads to mercy, that leads to God's care. I want to just close with this thought that came from In Conversation with God. There's a really nice reflection about the Good Samaritan and that his compassion, there was some practicality that really came from the actions of this Samaritan. And think about you as that Samaritan. Think about you lying on the ground, beaten and wounded, and in need of compassion. We're in those cases in times of our lives. And it says, he went up to him. The first thing to be done whenever we encounter misfortune or need, we have to get up close. You know, the other two men did not get up close. They went on the other side of the road. They didn't even want to see the issue that was at hand. We cannot just observe the situation from a distance. The Samaritan did what had to be done. He took care of him. The charity our Lord asks of us is shown in deeds. It consists in doing whatever needs to be done in each individual case. God places our neighbor and his needs along the road of our life. Love is always ready to do whatever the immediate situation demands. The business the Good Samaritan had in hand was left to wait, and the urgent things he had to do were no longer all that important. See, there were things on that Samaritan's list of things to do. Maybe somebody was waiting for him. He had an appointment, but that became unimportant because what's important is right in front of me. God's given me an opportunity to be him, to be God's gift of compassion and mercy in this person who is in great need. He gave his time to help the man in need. It is not only a question of time. Our interests, the things like doing, not to mention any self-indulgence, must also take second place to the needs of others. Are we always focused on what we need to get done today, on what our plans are, or are we open to be interrupted and to use those interruptions as opportunities to be a messenger of God's mercy? Glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. God bless you.
You have been listening to Faith Moments with Dina Marie, reflections upon the liturgical scripture readings for the Sunday Mass. New podcast episodes are released weekly through the generous support of Mater Dei Radio. To learn more about Faith Moments with Dina Marie, visit me online at dinamarie.org. That's dinamarie.org. May you have a blessed week.
If you enjoyed this podcast, please consider sharing it with a friend. You can support this vital mission of evangelization through materdeiradio.com or the Hail Mary Media app. And thank you for helping us lead souls to Jesus through the Blessed Virgin Mary.